you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, May 24th, 2016. Yesterday, I took you on our journey up to the Moody Bible Institute as we heard Dr. Lutzer preach his last message as their senior pastor. Today, I'm going to take you on the little journey of our conversational English class cookout that we held here at the Burns Homestead this past Saturday, just a few days ago, as my class typically meets from 10:30 to 11:30 on Saturdays. And as we're getting near the end of our time together before our summer break, we elected to have a little potluck cookout. And so some of the students were able to come out along with a few other friends. And in the midst of the campfire going, the weather was beautiful. We had a couple 8-foot tables set out with some other tables with all sorts of fixins, from barbecued chicken and brats to a variety of vegetables and international dishes. And so as we were conversing and having some fun and walking the nature trail, showing everyone the mighty Sangamon River, and just enjoying the fellowship, I said to Chi, he's also known as Paul, might he come down to the home studio and we can record a program? So he had no notice, no time to think about his testimony, and being a member of the English conversation class, he's growing in his ability to communicate effectively in the English language. I can't even fathom how hard it would be for me to share my story or testimony in another language. But he had a willing heart, and so he came down into the studio and to the rest of the class. Holly took him around and entertained him for a while as Paul sat down in the studio. So you're going to hear that conversation in its entirety. And at the time, I was going to air it for the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, but we highlighted that great trip up to Moody along with Dr. Erwin Lutzer's message in its entirety. And that was yesterday, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. And you can hear that program as it's archived at greatnewsradio.org. But we'll pick up right where we started recording, and I was talking about the English conversation class that I participate in on Saturday. And what's unique about our English conversation class on Saturdays, I generally take the group through different American idioms or various words that are maybe difficult to pronounce or say or understand, or we'll just talk about a topic or a news story. I have this thing where I pull out a one-minute timer, and everyone gets 1 minute to recap their week. And so they have to fill up the 1 minute. So even if they stop halfway, I said, you got to keep talking, got to keep talking. And then we turn the timer over again, and everyone in the class has 1 minute to ask questions about the topic that this individual just shared. Maybe they learned a new recipe and they wanted to know what the ingredients were, or they had an experience at the Tuscola Mall and they wanted to know what stores had good bargains, or a variation of things. And then whatever time we have left, we usually work on whatever may come to mind. It might be a news story or whatever. But what I like about Paul, many times he will share, well, at this Bible study I attend with Dave Krabiel, I learned about God's love in this way. Or you'll say, you know, there's a verse in Scripture. And so I let Paul have kind of free rein to share what his experience was or how a prayer was answered. And so I've known Paul. How many months have you been coming to the class?
About 6 months.
Okay, yeah. About 6 months. And I know you attend 4 or 5 other English conversation classes at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church.
Right.
At another church, an English class. And then you do something at Lincoln Square Mall, I think.
Right.
So you're very involved. You've been in this country almost 3 years, about 2 3/4 years. Yeah. You grew up in Taiwan. Yeah. You have a son and a daughter. You've been married 25 years. And let's start with what brought you to the United States a few years ago.
I have a sister. She lives in Chicago near Palatine. I applied to immigrate about 15 years ago. Yeah, I applied that because my sister. And about 10 years ago, the immigration, the American consuls told me I need to be interviewed for immigration.
So you applied 15 years ago, and it took some years just to get the interview to see if you might be eligible to come over?
Yes, to come over. And about 9 years ago, the immigration told me to interview.
So you went through this interview process, and what they ask you questions, why do you want to come to the United States, or what people or relatives do you know over here?
Yeah, yeah. It's my relative, my sister, Lipius, and my family went to the American consul.
The council?
Council, yeah.
Okay.
Went to council at whole interview. And I remember when I go to the councils, I meet the counselors. He smiled. He's welcome. Welcome, my family came to here.
Hmm.
Yeah, came to here for interview. Welcome. He smiled. Say hello to me.
So it wasn't just you interviewing. They wanted your wife and your son and daughter to all join you?
We joined together. My family joined together, came to the American Cancers, and he smiled, welcome here. We interview about, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes, they ask about the information, about why come to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what is your daughter's study? My daughter studied the piano. She played the piano in church. And he said, now we can pray in here.
Wow, yeah. This is the consulate for the United States.
Yeah, you can stay here. You can play the piano. Yeah, for us. I like to hear that. That is my daughter's is 16.
So at the time, your daughter's 16.
Yeah, my son is 14. Yeah,
14 at the time.
Yeah, and my son is junior high school, second year junior high school, and my daughter is high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, high school, fourth year. Yeah. And then you're a happy family. You immigrate here. It's a family. The daughter can come.
Now I'm going to have you backstep it a little, because were you praying up this immigration?
When I came here, it's black people.
Mm-hmm.
You smile. Welcome here. And I remember we have three family.
Mm-hmm.
Only my family approve. Two families reject.
Okay.
Reject.
So you're thinking to yourself, I'm getting a good welcome here.
Yeah.
I'm very fortunate or blessed. Was this something that while you were in Taiwan, that you had been praying about? Because we're going to ask you to share a little of your
faith. We pray. Before we came to America, we pray in the church.
Mm-hmm.
What is the purpose you want to go to America? Because I don't want to go to America because I have a job.
Mm-hmm.
My children went to America, and I leave me alone here.
Mm-hmm.
Leave me alone in Taiwan. I don't want that.
Okay, so you knew that your children were going to eventually come to the United States,
yeah.
So you thought you wanted to be with your family. Were you praying up, Lord, I like it here in Taiwan.
Yeah.
I have a good job here, but my family is going to go to school there.
Yeah.
So, okay, Lord, maybe this is your will to bring me to America?
Yeah, right. Because I pray that is for your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Your purpose, I would be for your purpose.
Okay, that's one of those surrendering. Lord,
surrender.
My will is to stay here. I have a good job, but if you have a higher purpose or a plan, I will submit and be open to that.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk a little about that faith journey.
Yeah.
I think you had told me off air just a few minutes ago that at around the age of 18, mm-hmm. you were kind of introduced to God or Jesus. But what was going on in your life those first 18 years? Because I know you grew up in a Buddhist family, would you say? Your mom or dad were Buddhists. So what was your concept of God those first 18 years of your life?
I followed my mother's. Mm-hmm. You go into the temples.
Okay.
I went with her to the temples. I don't know what is the purpose going to the temples. And I remember when I was 20 years old, almost 23 years old, I hurt my leg.
Like you injured or hurt your leg?
Injured my leg. And my mother took me going to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Chinese doctor. The doctor says, they have a cancer. They have a cancer.
You had cancer. So they determined you had cancer in your leg?
Yeah, told me my mother is cancer.
And you're only like 23 at this time?
23.
So prime of your life, healthy up to this point?
Right. So okay. I'm disappear. I'm hurt. How that is that? What has happened to me?
Mm-hmm.
And my mother cry for me. I ask her, the doctor to help me to cure my leg. She cried because he is only child, mm-hmm. only one boy.
And you had, I didn't mention this on the front end of this broadcast, but you had six sisters. So there were seven of you.
Yeah, seven of you.
So, but you were the only boy of the seven.
Yeah, and all went to every kind of temples to be worshipped.
And when you would go to these temples, would you light candles? What would happen in a typical Taiwanese Buddhist service?
They have like the fortune teller tell me, and my mother always ask a Buddhist to help me. And maybe he will donate some kind of money.
So it wasn't like 100 of you gather and then there's a preaching or a teaching or a talk.
Yeah.
Would it be the setting like, you currently attend a church locally here in the greater Champaign-Urbana area, but you would go in at a certain defined time?
Yeah.
And then someone, at some point, this fortune-telling, would that be the priest or what would you refer to the holy man as?
I think that's like a fortune teller. It's a fortune teller. It's tell me, don't be afraid. Because my mother is very, very trust. Mm-hmm. Very trusted fortune teller.
Sure.
But my father, after that, my father tell, there's nothing. Because you can go to the doctor, make a surgeon.
Sure.
Make a surgeon, your leg a surgeon. One day I make a surgeon. The doctor say, of course, your mother take a medicine, so your bone is not very well. So it's not cancer. It's the bone is not good. You can take a medicine.
Oh, so you found at the time it wasn't cancer. It was just a deficiency because of some medicines and such.
Yeah, out of surgery.
Okay, so back to this Buddhist service, I guess you would call it. I'm just kind of interested because I've never been to Taiwan. So as you're a 16, 18, 20-year-old, you go to these services because you respect and honor your mom.
Yeah.
But you didn't leave knowing God or didn't leave with a feeling like you were satisfied or there was understanding?
Yeah, I don't understand because I'm a Christian.
Okay.
I'm a Christian.
When did you become a Christian?
I became a Christian. After that, I have heard my dad.
Okay, so when the doctors looked at your leg and said, no, this is a deficiency, it's not cancer.
Yeah.
Was it a missionary? Was it a family member? Who helped you start understanding that there was a God who cared for you? Was it during this time?
I think I pray. I believe it's not a cancer. I think God cured my leg.
Okay.
Cured my leg. I have many kind of activities. I like running around a marathon. I run every kind. So I think my leg is good. I can running. Yeah, it's good. I think so. It's God helped me. God cured me. It's my leg.
Now, your concept of God, though, who helped form that? When were you introduced to Jesus? You know, because if you grew up Buddhist, maybe your understanding of God is just this deity or this power, or this influence out there. Did it become personal, or is it still what we would say a faith in progress? Who helped you know that God really does care, that he's personal, that you can pray to him? Before this program, we both prayed. Who helped you begin to understand the importance of the scriptures, the Bible?
Yeah, actually, yes, I know this happened to me because I'm a Christian. I pray, I ask, what the purpose? You give me this kind of, God love me. Mm-hmm. God love me. You want to have a plan in my life. So I can follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. I can follow that. So I'm be afraid because God is my help. God will cure me.
Did that just come to your mind and heart that you knew that God cared? Or was there people helping teach you that? Like if you weren't hearing that in the Buddhist temple, did a Christian come alongside you, a friend or neighbor, to say, hey, have you read the scriptures? Have you read the Bible, that there is a God? Or was it revealed to you in dreams? Because for some people, I'm just thinking somebody's tuning in that has never been introduced to the fact that there is a God who does care. Maybe it's an international student. Maybe it's an American that just has never had time to entertain the idea that there could be this power beyond this earth.
I think, it's my pastor in the church, my pastor, and my church brother and sister.
Now, why did you start going to this church? So this was a Christian church in Taiwan?
Yeah.
And you just one day decided, I'm no longer going to go to the temple with my mom. I'm going to go to a Christian church?
Yeah, it's usually I go to the church, but because my mother is very, very trust the temples, trust the fortune teller. So, once time I go to the temple, But I don't believe that. I don't believe that the temple, what they're talking about. So I trust in God. I trust in God because I think any kind of happened to me, God is my help. God is my help.
So as you saw the results with your leg,
yeah,
was there a peace that came over your mind and heart, or did you just discern, hey, I don't believe what was taught to me in the temple? This preacher, this Christian that's talking about this God of the Bible, did something just click in your mind where you say, that seems to be truth? Was there a defining moment where you said, I believe that there is a God, and I want to learn about his son, Jesus? Was there a defining point where you said, Jesus, I'm now learning that you're the Savior of the world. I want you to be my Savior. Was that a personal connection?
Yes. That's happened to me. I want to return, return to God. I want to be gay because I trust God. Mm-hmm. Because he healed me, so I trust God. I trust God, and I don't believe go to the fortune teller or go to the temple. I don't believe that.
So these many years, this is in your 18s to 20s,
18, 20.
Did you then begin to continue to go to the Christian church, or did you get your first Bible and begin reading it? Did it seem to start coming alive? Because I know you're involved in some Bible studies now, and in case you just tuned in, I have Chi, his American name to make it easy for us Americans that have trouble with international names. He goes by Paul. He's a part of my Saturday conversational English class, and this past Saturday, we had a bunch of members from the class over in the yard, and we walked the nature trail and had a little campfire and a potluck and enjoyed our time together, and I appreciate Paul being available for today's. And I know because of the conversational English class, oftentimes he'll reference something that he learned about God or a scripture verse. And so I let him share freely, as you know, the class is made up of a lot of different people from parts of the world, some on faith journeys, many not. And so it's always a delight to hear what Paul has to say and share. And so I asked him to share some of the faith journey. So it looks like in your 20s, you knew that the temple that you had gone to for many years with your mom didn't satisfy you. These years now walking and following Jesus, is there a peace that surpasses understanding, as the scriptures say? What do you see now as following Jesus that has made your life worth living, I guess?
Many struggles in my life. Mm-hmm. After I get married, I have work, I have a job. I have many struggles, like the financial struggles, many marriage struggle. So I think in your life, you should be understand what your purpose in your life, what's your purpose in life. So if you understand what your purpose, you pray and ask God, what is your purpose in your life? And I think God will be tell you. And if you go to you have read the Bible and you pray, I think God will answer your question. Mm-hmm. Answer your question. And why? What is your purpose in your life?
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up the fact that life wasn't just easy. Once you follow Jesus or become a Christian, some people might be under the misunderstanding that everything just works out, everything is rosy, everything is wonderful, there's no struggle or heartache or disappointment. That's not the case. There continues to be struggles and wrestling with worldly things or disappointment. It just means that God will maybe use it to bring you closer to Him, or to cause us to surrender or submit to Him and His will, or to bring glory out of it. Sometimes a tragedy that happens in someone's life, say in my case, something happens in my life, I can better identify with other people that are going through that same struggle or disappointment or heartache, and you can be like an agent for God to bring healing and hope to that person to say, hey, there will be a brighter day. Realize that just being a Christian doesn't mean everything is fun and easy and wonderful. There are struggles, but there's an ultimate purpose behind it, and it might just be even to refine our character when we finally come to the end of ourselves and say, okay, say, Lord, I've tried everything. I'm now giving this over to you. And that's when we come to that point of maybe utter dependence on him or humility, or say, Lord, in my strength, I can't go on. Help me. And then God might answer it in a unique way or a special way, or bring that inner peace that, okay, Lord, maybe on this side of heaven, I won't understand all the reasons why it's so difficult, but I trust in you still. Like Job, I still know that you're holy and you're good, and you don't need to give an answer to me, but help me during this time. And God gives you that supernatural, that inner peace. And so you've had it these many years, and you've been in the States now, I guess, almost 3 years. Where do you see God leading you now, or what's the next step in your life? Because I think one of your children has graduated recently, right?
And two.
Okay, they both graduated. Yeah. They're in the Chicago. One's in the Chicagoland area, right?
Right. My daughter found a job in Chicago. Mm-hmm. She teaches the piano. My wife take care of my daughter. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So now she live with my daughters. Mm-hmm. They go to church. They go to church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I stay here because I think God wills me. I will follow God's will. He wants to stay here. And my son, back to Taiwan, he searched a job in Chicago. So he came back to Chicago last week.
Yeah, I think you were praying that up or saying that he was looking for a job locally, didn't seem to find it, went back to Taiwan, and then don't you know, he gets back to Taiwan, and there's a position open in the Chicagoland area that he came back to interview for. So we don't know the results of that yet, right?
Right.
We don't know. We're kind of praying.
Yeah, it's just
hope he'll get
interview.
It.
Yeah, we interview. Yeah.
And I know many times you go up to Chicagoland to be with your wife and daughter, and you usually report an update of something that you learned during our Saturday class.
Yeah.
Maybe for that seeker or that person tuned in today, Paul, what would you say to them about following the Lord Jesus Christ?
I think follow Jesus Christ, we should be every day. Mm-hmm. Every day follow Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is our model. If you follow Jesus Christ in your life, you'll be understand what your purpose. Mm-hmm. As early as you can discover your purpose. You can discover what's your purpose in all your life. I think if you trust in God, God will be your help in everything. In everything, when you study, when you have a job, when you have marriage, retires, God will help you. God will with you. So I think very important, because we are the image of the God.
Yeah.
We are the image of the God. You should follow what Jesus, God want, you want to do. And Jesus Christ said, love God and love each other. Most important is to love everyone, and love everyone as yourself. Love everyone like yourself.
Yeah, as the Pharisees were asking Jesus, you know, they're trying to actually trap him, but they said, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus' response was, and it was kind of twofold. They were asking, like, what's the one greatest? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, that kind of encompasses all the Ten Commandments, all the laws of God to love one another. And we can love one another because he first loved us. As it says in John 3:16, many are familiar with that passage, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever so believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And Paul, I'm glad you follow the Lord Jesus Christ and are trying to live for him and active in the church and active in many conversational English classes and sharing the good news message of Jesus when you can. And thank you for being available for today.
Okay, thank you.
Well, listening friend, if you have some questions about following the Lord Jesus Christ or connecting with a faith that maybe you didn't even know you had, maybe you have some questions about being a Christian or what it means to follow Jesus, there's an 800 number. It's a free call, and there's some great folks on that end of the phone that will answer any questions or pray with you or help you understand how to have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
Tell the world the message. Take it everywhere to share.